With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
Next interview is with Lutz Gregor, who's a German director of a film called Mali Blues. Coming out of Germany, it's a documentary, and it really is, once again, it's about a lot of things, and mostly it's about music, but it's about also very much about politics and art and the line not only that connects the two, but sort of separates the two as well. I had a wonderful time with Lutz. He's a great guy. He's a passionate man who clearly cares a great deal, not only about the work that he does, but about the people that are involved. And you really can see that when you watch this film. It's about culture. It's about music. It's about colonialism. It's about the impact of tolerance in a society, and what does it have to say about who we are and where we're heading. And so you're going to enjoy the film. I hope you can find it. Look for it, Mali Blues. It was the North American premiere at the Toronto International Film Festival this year, and the interview with Lutz is coming up. DavidPeckLive.com, rabble.ca for more podcasts, information about my book, about my speaking. You can find it there. And I hope you're going to enjoy this interview about a new documentary film called Mali Blues. Well, welcome to Face to Face. We are once again joined by another very special guest here at the Toronto International Film Festival. I have no idea what number this interview is for me, but it's a lot. Lutz Gregor is here with me today to talk about his new film, Mali Blues. Thanks
Hello.
For your time.
Yes. Hey.
Thank you. Thank you for joining me today. Are you exhausted, I guess, is the first question.
Not really. I'm still in jet lag a little bit.
Oh, are
yeah.
You?
Okay. So to this afternoon, I feel a little bit tired.
It's starting
because
to
I just arrived 2 days ago, but it's fine. Yeah.
Oh. Oh, yeah. And the film has premiered?
No, the screening will be tonight.
Okay.
And then there's another screening tomorrow.
And how are you feeling about that? Is it anticipation? Is it excitement? Is it fear?
It's not fear, but it's a big honor to be here in Toronto.
Yes.
So the film has been already to several international festivals, but...
This is the North American premiere.
Yes. So Toronto is, of course, the biggest festival. Let's say I'm excited, and there will be talks and...
Press and Q&A.
People like you.
Any special performances tonight? Any music? Any live music?
No. We did it when we had the premiere in Germany. We had live music, and there was Fatoumata Diawara coming to Munich. But this time it was not possible, and it's quite difficult as well.
Expensive, bringing people from Mali to
Canada.
Yeah. So this is clearly a musical film. It's in a way it's a concert film almost.
I think so.
But I think for me, it's way more than that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's an introduction for me into Mali's music and into the scene and so on. kind of interesting and ironic that we're sitting in a bar here in Toronto covered with records, and I walked in and there's a sticker on the door that says support your local musician.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So, I mean, I'm looking up there, I see an Alice in Chains poster. Yeah. So I think it's really appropriate, actually. Is this a film about music, or is this a political film?
It's about the landscape, it's about Mali, it's about the people, it's about Fatoumata Diawar and all the others, and it's about the music. So I think what is special in the film is a mix, and this is something I liked a lot. We are touching very political issues, like the occupation of the north by Islamists in Mali in 2012, and we are talking about this on a political level, but we talk about it with the music, with the characters, with the life stories of these people.
Right.
It's not about making headlines. Yeah.
Right. I mean, as with any good documentary, it's about way more than what's on the screen.
Yeah.
There's so much more going on than meets the eye. When you started filming, did you have... as a documentarian, as a filmmaker, did you have a sense for where you were going to go, or did you wind up in an entirely different place?
I mean, I just said to somebody, of course this film is made by a white person, somebody from Europe, and you have this kind of look...
Lens.
To Africa.
Sure.
And every time you're totally confused, yeah? Every time you have to learn something, you have to... things don't work the same way as we do. People are different. People are thinking a different way. And you have to adapt to this. And you have your own, how do you say, prejudice.
Of course, prejudice, yeah? Or worldview.
Yeah. And Africa doesn't work in the same way we do, and you complain about it.
That's right.
And you have to relax and go back, and you feel your own, how do you say, colonialist attitudes.
Sure.
Yeah, of course.
Of course.
And every image.
And you can't get away from them. Right?
No, but there are people touching you like this and say, okay, think about it, look here. Yeah.
Then
you think about what is the frame we are doing in a literary sense, but all as well in a more general sense. So what is the image we want to create from Africa? And this was interesting. And this was changing all the time. It was a process. It was, of course, you come with your images to Africa and you want to recreate your images. And that doesn't work. And this is interesting. So it was a real kind of communication, interaction. It was very chaotic.
Did you find it hard to immerse yourself into the culture? I mean, to cross cultures in a sense?
No, not really. Not really. What is culture? I mean, it's first, of course, it's the people. And to communicate with the people, there's especially in Mali, they are so... heartful, they are so warm, and they are so physical. They always touch you and embrace you, and it's so easy to talk to them. You can read the faces.
Nice.
It's not, they are not hidden behind some rules or something. It's very open and direct. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work, and you don't understand why it doesn't work. But this was very, very easy to communicate.
One of the
things, was easy.
One of the metaphors that I mean, the colors. I mean, how can you not get away from African colors? It seems right.
Yeah,
they're just.
Yeah.
It's just so vibrant, and I don't know if it's particular to Mali. I've certainly traveled to a few.
Yeah.
It seems to be a part of sort of African
culture
to a large degree.
Yeah.
Really rich and vibrant and kind of almost in your face.
Yeah.
Right? Almost loud in a way, right?
The red, for example.
Yes, really
the
rich
street.
And deep.
Yeah.
Metaphor for the culture for you? Symbol, to, you know, in some way?
I mean, for example, we went to the music life in Bamako, in the capital. It's incredible. It's like here in Toronto, I can imagine, or whatever. You go from one club to the other.
Right.
It's outside.
Right.
And there
right.
you have so many different colors of music. Yeah? And they're all playing together. And this musician is going to the set of this other group. And then they're going together somewhere else. And there's some clubs which are not... gay, but they are very different people. Yeah, you wouldn't expect there. So everything is there, and it was surprising for us. We thought, oh, it's more traditional, something like that. It wasn't at all. It's very modern and very, yeah, as you said, very rich.
Do you think musicians, I think this comes out in the film in a variety of ways, actually. Mm-hmm. So you follow three musicians, essentially.
Four.
Yeah. And we meet others along the way.
Yeah, yeah.
We meet spiritual leaders and we meet locals. And there's some really wonderful, I mean, there is one beautiful tracking shot, I think you shoot from the river, maybe. Mm-hmm. And you're just, there's a song playing. And I don't even think it's subtitled at that point. We're just watching people watching you, the faces. And it's really marvelous, really clear.
Thanks.
My favorite moment in the film, it really is.
Mine too.
Yours too.
Yes,
nice.
Yes, yes.
Nice. Is art's purpose in Mali and everywhere, let's say, let's make it a global question, to disrupt? I mean, is that essentially what's going on? I mean, I was amazed at the rapper's lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, explain your Islam to me.
Yes, yeah.
Like, what? I mean, talk about in your face, right? So, where do you sit on that? You know, art's, you know, that Socratic gadfly, the fly in the ointment. You know, disrupting and irritating and slowly, you know, creating change on a variety of levels.
I mean, it's very hard to talk about it in general. Can art change the world?
Yeah. Right. Sounds
and
so grand.
Yes, and we would love both to say yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course it does. We want, and I have some doubts. For example, somebody was asking me, "Do you think your film might change the attitude, the negative attitude, in Europe, towards African people?"
Hmm.
I said, "Yes, it can." But these people who are negative about Africans, refugees coming now to Germany, they don't watch the film. So the people who are watching the film are already in a positive attitude towards these people.
Right, it's like preaching to the converted, right?
Right, that's the word. So, and with the music, it's very complex. I think, for example, Master Sumi, he is able to gather 15,000 people in a stadium and singing to them, talking to them. And he is loved, he is famous. Yeah?
Right.
And when he says something, it can be even dangerous for the politicians.
Wow, right, and because it was he's such a celebrity, he has so much pull, as it were.
And even he told me once that there was a police stopping him in the car at night. Because they want a little bit of money.
Of course. Yeah,
and they
say,
Master Sumi, okay, go. And that's the way it is. So his music does something. What it does is that some people, one of the mighty people in power, are afraid of him. Yeah? And he is expressing the thoughts and the feelings of lots of people. You see people playing his music, singing his lyrics. They know this music, yeah? And he's expressing what they think. So he calls himself the Advocat de la Rue, yeah? He's the lawyer of the poor, yeah? Of the street.
Nice.
And I think this is true. That's all our experience was, that he's the one, yeah?
And did you get the sense that, I mean, clearly it comes out that the conflict in northern Mali had an impact, the Islamic sort of edge. You have a religious scholar or thinker talking about how music is not banned in the Quran, and it's, you know, it's to be celebrated.
It's very important.
You know, really important.
Yeah.
Is there a sense of, that they've regained their freedom to perform, to create, to celebrate? Is it pretty open culturally, politically, would you say?
I mean, it's very complex. Mali, traditionally, they have a very, how can I say, tolerant version of Islam, which is connected to Sufism. So and there's an African tradition, which comes from animism, yeah? So they are not, like in Arabic countries, so strict. They are more softer, yeah? Second, music was always a big part in everyday life.
Mm.
Not all, but you see small kids, 5 years old, drumming, like masters. Mm. Yeah? Mm. The women are singing in the houses, in the during the weddings. There are the griot coming to sing. Yeah. So there's in everyday life, it's part like
it's part of the language.
It's part of the language. It's like it's part of the breath. They're breathing the music.
Sure, sure. Yeah?
And this was so the Islamists when they occupied the north, and they were and music was forbidden, music and dance and sports and everything. Yeah, they thought they could oppress this heartbeat, and of course at the end they couldn't, and it continued. And sorry, what was the question?
Oh, just about the.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You don't cut.
No, no.
Oh, that's sorry.
Okay. No, it's I just ran to the washroom and came back. There was enough time there. Yeah,
yes.
We're good. No, we're good. Yeah, we're all good.
Oh, good.
That's what makes it, you know, live and interesting.
Yes. Okay. No, but I think I answered the question. Didn't I?
Yeah. No, I think you did. Yeah. I think the sense of what was the line? Yeah, they couldn't oppress the heartbeat.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's what. Ultimately.
Sorry, now I got it. You asked how's the situation at the moment. There was a time from 2000 March 2012 mm-hmm. till January 2013, 10 months, where the jihadist different groups occupied the north. At that time, it was forbidden and banned. When the French especially liberated the north and they tried to establish a kind of peace zone, yeah, which is controlled by MINUSMA, United Nations troops at the moment, now there's no ban anymore. Yeah, so they could go back to play music, but they don't, because there's no way to earn money with music. Yeah, you have to be very precise. You're allowed to do music in Mali. Yeah, the situation where it was banned doesn't exist anymore. But most of the musicians are living abroad, or they're living in the capital, because at least there are small possibilities
of making a living.
Challenge
of any artist anywhere. Yeah. Didn't Ahmed talk about them burning his guitars and wanting to cut his fingers off?
Yes. Yeah.
For a period of time, it must have been
10 months. Yeah.
Pretty serious.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Do you think all great art comes out of tension and violence and disconnection? How's that?
Yeah. I think happiness is, how do you say, contraproductive. It's not very productive for art.
Right.
If you're happy,
contraproductive.
Why should you do anything?
That's right.
Yeah, you're just happy.
Why
you're living your life and everything is fine.
That's right. That's right.
So I think the art needs something you want to change. Yeah.
Right.
It needs something you're suffering about. Yeah. Something you want to address to other people, and to communicate with these other people, to gather around the art, the music. So it's
the idea of building community and gathering around it is wonderful. It's a lovely notion. 300 ethnicities, right?
Yes.
300 cultures,
yes.
Essentially, and then and then somebody on film says, and each one of them has their own sort of way of doing things.
Yes. Yes.
How? Never mind globally. How does one country? I mean, you must have learned a great deal about Malians and the culture and so on in a short period of time. But what's your sense? How do you find common ground?
The problem is I don't
maybe
understand.
Maybe it's not there.
It's very complex. You touched the point. I don't understand the local languages. The main language is in the south.
I didn't even think of the language.
Bambara. Yeah. But most of them, they are speaking French. So with more educated people who went to school, you talk in French and you can communicate. But sometimes they are communicating between each other in languages I don't understand. And I'm asking, Ahmed, did you speak Tamashek, the Tuareg language, to this person, or was it Bambara? And he's laughing. I said, yeah, a little bit like this. And this was Songhai, wasn't it? Yeah, with him I speak Songhai, but you are Tamashek. Yes, but we know Songhai as well. So what you feel is, just imagine we are sitting here, we are speaking French, Italian, German, and English all together.
All mixed together,
And which is incredible. And then you feel, it's possible. In Berlin, no German person normally speaks Turkish. There's so many Turkish people. Of course, they speak German sometimes. Yeah, but you don't mix in a sense. Mm. They are much more. All the ethnies are mixed. Yeah, and which there exists a kind of living together, clearly, but there are lots of problems. For example, the Tuareg from the north are white skinned. What they call white. Hmm. They look like Arabs, yeah, okay. Which is not totally white, but for the Bambara in the south, they are white. And right. There's a traditional racism.
Right, internal between. Racism. Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's interesting you bring that up, Liz, because before I started traveling, I always thought racism meant white, black, black, white.
Yeah.
Right? Just because of the culture that
the Tuareg had slaves, black slaves.
When you go to another country, you go, oh, wow, they're actually racist against others within their own country.
Yeah, of course.
Southeast Asia,
same.
I mean, it's a global, it's a human problem.
Yeah,
I'm so glad you included the line, musicians forgive. It's part of our job.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that's true? And if it's true, what do musicians know that maybe you and I don't? I think it's a wonderful line. There's something.
I think a musician...
The melody of forgiveness.
The melody of forgiveness. Musicians, much more than, for example, a writer or a painter, need to communicate. Mm. They need public. They need people around, listening. They're talking, and they need somebody to listen. So if I say to the public, I hate you, it doesn't work. So I think it's part of the soul of a musician that you want to be understood.
Mm.
And that you need to understand the people you are playing for. And this is the base of communicating through music. And I think that's what they do. And even Master Sumi, he's a rapper. In America, rappers, I read an article about Tupac this morning, because I think he's dead for 20 years or something. And this kind of American rap kind of living where you attack each other verbally with music, and at the end you kill each other. Yeah, for them in Africa, it's totally weird.
Mm.
Yeah, you understand? Because they think, because don't they have any problems? We have so many problems. We have to fight together. Yeah, we have to address our solutions, our proposals. Yeah, our words to the people. And so we have that we can do something together to change the world. But you understand?
Yeah,
what I mean?
No, I'm with you. Yeah, tell me a couple more questions. We'll wrap it up here in a second or two. How much does religion play into this? I mean, it's a massive question. As most of as you said, these are all complex issues.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
I mean, 300 ethnicities, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah.
The languages, the worldviews.
I mean, 95% in Mali are Muslim. Yeah, of course, there are still ethnies which have a more traditional background animism, like in the Dogon. Yeah, but as well there, Islam is conquering big parts of the country. So mainly it's at the moment 95%. There was one, just to tell you the story, for example, Master Sumi, and he's doing this song and the clip with him, Explique ton Islam, explain your Islam.
Yes.
He was
yes.
attacking
so
the
great.
Islamist from a point of view of a Muslim.
But the lyrics are great. I mean, I can't believe actually he wrote the song and then published it.
And he was attacked for this.
Pretty, I bet he was. Yeah. Pretty yeah. gutsy.
And then he said, I said, but Sumi, I didn't know you're a believer. He said, yeah, of course I am. Yeah. And you go to the mosque on Friday? Yes, I do. I said, okay, let's do it. Yeah, and that was the reason we went to the mosque on for the Friday prayer, and he was praying there, and it was not fake. Yeah, so he was really as a believer, and that was a reason to write the song, because there are people coming and saying, in this name of Islam, we are doing all this kind of violence. They were doing, and said, no, it's not in the name of Islam. It's not part of it. And that was the reason. Second, we were talking to the Imam, and I asked him, is the Prophet, is he does he love music?
Right, right.
And he was laughing and said, of course he loves music. And he was quoting Suren, lines in the Quran, where it said that the prophet gave his turban to the musician. So he acknowledged that what he's studying.
Doesn't he go on to say, you know, music's purpose is to heal and it's to celebrate?
Yes, that's what he says.
I mean, there's so many implications of the few things that he said. And he says it with authority, right?
Yeah.
And wisdom.
That's what was the reason we wanted to have him. He was there are two big, high imams in Mali, in Bamako. And he's the one, and the other one, he goes a more fundamentalist direction.
Right.
But we wanted Haidara to talk about it.
Well, it seems to me, you know, your film is... I think your film will help to build bridges. I really
Hopefully.
Do. I mean, I think music to the imam's point, it builds bridges.
Yeah.
It's about community, and it's about healing and reconciliation and all those things. And for me, you know, the film was... can I say that the film was like a poem or a love letter, not only to music, but to Malians itself? That's how it felt to me.
No, you're right. That's the feeling I had myself after watching the film as well. I mean, I had times of trouble when we were editing. It was very hard to edit this film. We had so beautiful material of each of the four protagonists of the musicians that we had to cut and cut and cut. It was like, harakiri.
Yeah.
And at the end, we had a little screening in Bamako for the crew, for the local crew, and some invited guests and the musicians. And one, Salif Traoré, a Malian director, old one, said the film looks like it was made by an African.
That's because a huge compliment, I would say.
It was a colleague, and he was criticizing the film, this doesn't work. But in general, he said, it looks like there's somebody who understands our culture.
Yes.
And you don't step into the cliché about Africa like lots of African directors do themselves.
Yeah.
So it was the best thing I could...
It's wonderful. It's marvelous. Yeah. Well, listen, congratulations on a beautiful film. Yeah. And Mali Blues, Lutz Gregor here for the North American premiere of Mali Blues tonight. September, what's the date? I don't even
13th.
Know anymore. September 13th at the Toronto International Film Festival. Congratulations again. And thank you for your time.
Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.